What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the JT Sports Podcast. I'm your host, JT. On this episode, we're going to be doing something that we haven't done in a very long time. NFL free agency is just around the corner, and I figure this is the perfect time for me to release my NFL pre-free agency mock draft for 2024 with trades. Before we begin, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel. Remember that we're not just a YouTube channel, we're a podcast. You can find us on all podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast from. The JT Sports Podcast is available. If you have a question that you would like me to answer on a future episode, you can send them in the DMs on Instagram at JT Sports _ or on X at JT Sports _. Also, make sure to follow us on those platforms for updates on the podcast and future episodes. Without further ado, let's get into it. Pick number one, I got the Chicago Bears taking Caleb Williams. It makes perfect sense for them to move on from Justin Fields. He is the worst fourth quarter quarterback in the NFL. And the Chicago Bears organization over the last couple of weeks has emphasized strongly that they want a quarterback who can get it done with the game on the line. Justin Fields doesn't fit that description. Caleb Williams, on the other hand, he possibly could be a generational talent who possibly might have the capability to rival Patrick Mahomes. He is able to make all kinds of spectacular plays outside of the pocket. He has a great arm. He is fantastic when he decides to run with the football. He's kind of like Jalen Hurts as a runner, but a little bit more agile. And Caleb Williams going to the Chicago Bears allows them to reset at quarterback with a cheaper deal and is going to allow them to restart over at the quarterback position and hopefully get it right. Chicago is normally one of those franchises that quarterbacks go to die. They haven't had a quarterback in their franchise history ever throw for over 4,000 yards. Caleb Williams could change the trajectory of the Bears franchise in this organization for years to come. He's a can't-miss prospect, in my opinion, and it makes all the sense in the world for him to get drafted number one by Chicago. Second overall, I have the Washington Commanders taking Jaden Daniels. A lot of people feel Drake May is going to be the pick here, and I can understand that, but for me, with Cliff Kingsbury being the offensive coordinator, he's going to be running somewhat of a spread attack. And when you have that kind of offense, you want a quarterback that has good mobility. Jaden Daniels has been compared to Lamar Jackson. He's not similar to Lamar Jackson, in my opinion, but I do understand why people give him those kinds of comparisons, because he is a really dynamic runner. Him and Lamar Jackson have that joystick-like ability. My only difference with the Jaden Daniels LJ comparison is that I don't think Jaden Daniels is the athlete that Lamar is. Lamar Jackson is one of one. He's a one percenter. He's way more twitchier than what Jaden Daniels is. That doesn't mean that Jaden Daniels isn't going to be able to run for 1,000 yards every single season, because he most definitely can. I'm just saying that Lamar Jackson is on a different level. But if there was to be somebody who could be a notch below Lamar, it would be Jaden Daniels. Cliff Kingsbury would utilize Jaden Daniels' mobility and that dual threat skill set. They have some pretty good receivers there already. Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin. If they can improve the offensive line, Jaden Daniels could have a really good rookie season in Washington. Third overall, Drake May is the third best quarterback on the board right now. New England, we don't really know what they want to do when it comes to finding a quarterback in free agency. There's nobody really out there that's appealing. Baker Mayfield probably is going back to Tampa. Kirk Cousins, it looks like he has his eyes set on Atlanta. Drake May is probably the best quarterback option out there. To me, he's a hit or miss prospect. He has some really good games, but he also has some really ugly games, such as Duke and Virginia, where he just looks out of sorts. He looked a little bit rattled. But if you can find the offensive coordinator who can hone him in and make him more consistent and polish him up. You see, for the people that make the argument for Drake May to be QB1, I push back on that because, yes, Drake May and Caleb Williams can do all of the same things, but Caleb Williams is more refined and he's less chaotic. There are certain moments during games when Drake May just looks super chaotic. But if you can get him playing consistent, you can find a way to hone in some of the indecisiveness in his game, he can end up being a top 10 quarterback right out the gate for New England and being a massive upgrade over Mac Jones. Fourth overall, I have my first trade of this mock draft. I have the Minnesota Vikings trading up with the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals are going to receive the 11th overall pick in this year's draft from Minnesota, along with their second round pick in this year's draft. And they're going to get Minnesota's first round picks for 2025 and 2026. Minnesota, they get the fourth overall selection from Arizona, and I got them taking Bo Nix. J.J. McCarthy has been linked to Minnesota heavily. They have a lot of interest in him, but Bo Nix, I think he fits what Kevin O'Connell is looking for out of his quarterback, somebody who can extend plays. He can also be a part of the run game, also is really good at throwing the ball accurately in between the numbers, short, intermediate areas of the field. There are questions about Bo Nix's ability to throw the deep ball. I do think that he is going to struggle throwing the football downfield a little bit early in his career, but as he continues to get more in-game reps and experience, I do think that with more timing and chemistry with his teammates that he develops along the years, he'll end up being more accurate throwing the ball downfield. And I don't even think he's that bad of a deep ball passer. And it's really hard to overthrow guys like Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. So Bo Nix would be the answer at quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. They wouldn't be able to get J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix if they stay outside of the top 10. They have to give up three first-round picks to get up to the fourth overall selection. Some people may feel like that's too much, but when you think about the 49ers, when they traded up to three to get Trey Lance a few years ago, they gave up three first-rounders. So that's just what it takes to trade up this high in the draft when everybody knows that you have your eyes set on a quarterback. Rounding out my top five, I have J.C. Latham going to the Los Angeles Chargers. A lot of Chargers fans are probably going to be mad with this. You probably feel like Brock Bowers or Marvin Harrison Jr. makes sense here. But if you know Jim Harbaugh, this is somebody who is a hard-nosed, tough football coach. And he's somebody who puts a strong emphasis on trench play. The Chargers' offensive line was not that good last season. You do have Rashawn Slater at left tackle, but what are you going to do at right tackle? J.C. Latham could be a potential all-pro offensive tackle. And I just feel you could get another good tight end later in this draft, or you could just address that in free agency. Brock Bowers would be nice to have. Even if you think the Chargers need to go wide receiver, this is a really deep receiver class. You can get that later on. J.C. Latham and Rashawn Slater would be one of the top tackle duos in the National Football League. And you have to make sure that Justin Herbert has time to throw the football to the wide receivers that you end up drafting. So either way, I don't think you can go wrong here by taking a wide receiver, Brock Bowers or J.C. Latham. It's just you have Jim Harbaugh taking over as head coach. He's a physical-minded coach, and it just makes sense for him and Greg Roman to go offensive tackle here. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the first wide receiver I have coming off the board to the New York Giants at six. Yes, Daniel Jones, the deal that they gave him probably has made them have a lot of regrets. Rich Eisen recently came out and said that they're having buyer's remorse about it. But at this point, are you really going to take the gamble with J.J. McCarthy, or could you just try to maybe get Michael Penix or Spencer Rattler in round two? Marvin Harrison Jr. would fix a big problem that the Giants have had the last couple of seasons, and that is lacking a true number one wide receiver. you may feel like Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers is better than Marvin Harrison Jr., but it doesn't really matter. He's everything that you want in a wide receiver prospect. He has top-end speed. He is able to catch 50-50 balls. He can also make things happen after the catch. He's a good possession wide receiver on moving the chains. He can be a good safety blanket for Daniel Jones or whoever you have back there at quarterback next year. Marvin Harrison Jr. would be a great selection for the New York Giants, giving them that big dynamic playmaker on the outside that they've been lacking under Brian Daboll the last couple of years. Joe Alt is the first tackle that I have, well, the second tackle that I have coming off the board at 7 to the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans, they have Peter Skoronski playing left guard. If you draft Joe Alt, you will solidify the left side of that offensive line. Then you can worry about the right side. You can find another playmaker later on in this draft for Will Levis, but prioritizing, making sure that you can keep Will Levis upright has to be your number one priority. You did hire the offensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals as your head coach, Brian Callahan. He brought his father as the offensive line coach, which his father has a really legendary reputation around the league. So taking Joe Alt right here, who is perceived to be the consensus most fundamentally sound tackle in this draft class. I believe that his ceiling is fairly high. His floor is pretty low or pretty high. I think that he has a low bust potential. So him and Peter Skoronski could give you a really good left side offensive line for future years to come. Have the Falcons take in edge rusher Lau Latu Latu. Eighth overall, they have a big need at pass rusher. They didn't address it last season. Yeah, they have a couple of promising guys that you hope could maybe develop this year. But right now, it seems as if they're going after Kirk Cousins. So it doesn't make sense to take a quarterback here. You don't really need any more weapons on offense. If you want to get another wide receiver, maybe you sign a guy like Tyler Boyd in free agency. But addressing your lack of pass rush that you've had over the last couple of years has to be the big priority for you, especially with Raheem Morris strongly featuring a defensive background. So Latu Latu is going to be the pick for me at 8 for the Falcons. Roma Dunze is the second wide receiver that I have coming off the board to the Chicago Bears at 9. Roma Dunze, you can argue that he is just as good as Marvin Harrison. He's wide receiver 1. Chicago just took Caleb Williams. You already have DJ Moore. You pair him up with Roma Dunze and Cole Kmet, you're going to have a really nice passing attack for Caleb Williams. So I got Roma Dunze at 9 to Chicago. At number 10, I have Alu Fashanu out of Penn State going to the New York Jets. Mekhi Becton is a free agent. He was a massive disappointment. He's a bust. And your offensive line isn't too bad. I think that Joe Tippmann does have a lot of promise. You're going to have Elijah Vera Tucker back fully healthy. If you get Alu Fashanu, your offensive line wouldn't be too far off for being pretty solid. And you just saw what happened to Aaron Rodgers, his first 3 plays into the season. You want to definitely make sure that you don't put him at risk for getting injured again due to having a liable offensive line. Alu Fashanu, he may not be as technical as Joe Alt or J.C. Latham, but when you think about his athleticism, he has the potential to be as good as what Trent Williams is, which is maybe a I'm not going to say a Hall of Fame caliber player, but an all-pro caliber player. So Alu Fashanu at 10, to me, makes a lot of sense for the New York Jets. And this rounds out my top 10. Before we get on to picks 11 through 15, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel and the podcast if you are enjoying this mock draft so far. Remember that you can find the audio version of this episode on all podcasting platforms. Give us a 5-star review if you enjoy. Does it piss you off how much you pay for your monthly phone bill? Why are you getting frustrated when our partner Mint Mobile has plans as low as $15 a month that give you unlimited talk and text on the nation's largest 5G network? Stop getting frustrated with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get access to premium wireless for only $15 a month. That's only $15 a month. Switching to Mint is easy. It only takes 15 minutes to do. If you're pissed off with how much you pay for your monthly phone bill, switch to Mint Mobile today and go to trymintmobile.com/JTSports in the description and pinned comment down below to get premium wireless for only $15 a month. Stop getting upset with how much you spend on your monthly phone bill and switch to Mint Mobile today. At 11th overall, I have the Arizona Cardinals taking Malik Nabers out of LSU. Remember that I had Arizona trading down from 4th to 11th with the Minnesota Vikings. They ended up taking Bo Nix. The Arizona Cardinals, they get two additional first-round picks for the next two drafts, and they get the second-round selection from Minnesota in this year's draft, also from that trade. It seems as if they need another wide receiver, a true number one. They did have Michael Wilson, who had a pretty good rookie season. He could be a really good number two. Hollywood Brown is hitting free agency. He was a giant letdown when they gave up that first round pick to get him. He was unable to stay healthy. So Malik Nabers, he's a really good wide receiver prospect. He's just as good as Marvin Harrison Jr. and Roma Dunze and Kyler Murray. Having Michael Wilson, Malik Nabers, and James Conner in the backfield, you would be really happy with the pieces that he'll have around him that have a really strong 2024 campaign, because coming off that ACL injury last season, you know, he had some games where he really carried Arizona. And Arizona was already a better football team than what we initially gave them credit for, because they had beat the Dallas Cowboys a few weeks prior to Kyler getting back. So you give him Malik Nabers, and he really gets back from that injury now that he's fully 110% healed. He's a year off from the surgery. You know, this could be a team to look out for when you have Malik Nabers, Michael Wilson, you got James Conner in the backfield. They also had a rookie tight end out of Colorado State that was pretty nice also. Arizona, look out for them. They could be a sleeper in 2024. JJ McCarthy, I have the Broncos selecting him 12th overall out of Michigan. Many people, fans, aren't fans of JJ McCarthy, but executives and scouts and general managers, they love JJ. Denver, they're desperate right now. You are taking the largest cap hit in NFL history at $85 million, releasing Russell Wilson. And at this point, you probably aren't going to be that good this year anyway. So you might as well take JJ McCarthy, maybe see if you can start him somewhere along this season, bring a vet in and around week 7, week 8, work him in and start to work on his development. And then maybe next year, he'll be ready to make a giant leap. But you would like to get your franchise quarterback now versus maybe waiting on it later, which there's not a lot of great quarterback prospects in the 2025 class as of right now. Shedeur Sanders looks like the true number one selection out of the bunch. So JJ McCarthy at 12 makes sense for the Denver Broncos. 13th, I have the Las Vegas Raiders drafting Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Nate Wiggins is my cornerback one in this draft class. He's super athletic, really physical, aggressive man-to-man corner. He fits the kind of style that Antonio Pierce is looking for out of the players that he wants on defense. He has a swagger about him. And you pair him up with Jack Jones, you got one of the best cornerback rooms that the Raiders have had in a very long while. I mean, I can't remember the last time the Raiders had two good quarterbacks. And then you already have a pretty good pass rush with Max Crosby. So that could be a really good defense, a defense that makes another giant step in improvement. They already made a pretty good improvement when Antonio Pierce took over as the interim head coach defensively. Now you add in Nate Wiggins to improve that secondary that has held them back the last couple of years. This could be a really good selection. The Raiders have whiffed on their last couple of first-round picks. I don't think taking Nate Wiggins would end up backfiring on you like how your last few first-round selections have. 14th overall, I have the New Orleans Saints taking Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU. Yeah, you can say they probably should take Dallas Turner here, but Brian Thomas is right down the street from them. They probably have a lot of film on him. They have a lot of notes on him. They are about to release Michael Thomas, and you would love to give Derek Carr another weapon. You don't have a lot of money, but knowing Mickey Loomis, he may be able to make some magic happen like he always does during the offseason to sign a big-time wide receiver in free agency. But why do that when you can just bring in Brian Thomas? Brian Thomas would be a massive get for you. He has great size. He's over 6 foot. He is a monster after the catch. He's a very good 50-50 ball wide receiver. And Derek Carr has a hesitancy to want to push the ball downfield. He doesn't really like trying to push the ball downfield vertically. And I think when you got a guy with the kind of size Brian Thomas has, it will make Derek Carr a lot safer wanting to take more shots downfield. So Brian Thomas, 14th to New Orleans, is the pick there. 15th, I have Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, cornerback, going to Indianapolis. Indy has a major need at cornerback. Gus Bradley's defense last year was under hella fire from Indianapolis fans, and you definitely really like what you saw out of Juju Brents at times last year, especially with that size. I definitely think they should give him another go around this year, but at your other cornerback position, Quinyon Mitchell, he can do everything. He's scheme versatile. He can play in a man-specific scheme, zone, off-cover scheme. He also is really good in run support. He's a very freaky athlete. I think he would be a very good selection for the Indianapolis Colts at 15. 16th, I have Seattle taking tight end Brock Bowers out of Georgia. Seattle isn't really too off from being a Super Bowl contender. You lose Noah Fant to free agency. You already have DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and JSN, Jaxon Smith-Njigba at wide receiver. But Tyler Lockett's starting to get up there in age, and he could start to regress at any moment now. And you bring in Brock Bowers. He's not just a tight end. You can move him to slide. You can move JSN on the outside. It's just a lot of different things you can do with your offense when you add in Brock Bowers. Plus, he's also really good at run blocking also, so he'll be a major factor in the run game. And you can never have too many weapons on offense. When Seattle does opt to bring in their quarterback of the future, whether it be in this year's draft or in next year's draft, you definitely will like the pieces that that quarterback will have around them. 17th overall, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Jazon Newton out of Illinois. Jazon Newton was one of the best interior defensive linemen in all of college football the last 2 years. Jacksonville, you just put the franchise tag on Josh Allen. You have Trayvon Walker, who's coming along pretty well in his development going into his third season. You add Jazon Newton in there on the interior of that defensive line. Not only are you going to have a really good run defense, but you could have one of the better pass rushers in the NFL. Because Jazon Newton specializes in being able to get under after the quarterback. And with you bringing in a new defensive coordinator from Atlanta who specializes on defensive line play, Jazon Newton, with how good he is at being able to generate a consistent pass rush from the interior, Jacksonville's pass rush could be very scary this season, and I think that he would be a great get for them. Their last couple of first-round picks haven't really been that great. Josh Allen is the best first-rounder that the Jags have made, or the best first-round pick they've made in a while. So I don't think you can go wrong taking Jazon Newton here at 17. 18th overall, half the Cincinnati Bengals taking the offensive tackle out of Oregon State. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name because I struggle with these kinds of names. But Jonah Williams is hitting free agency. We saw how much of a disaster the Lyle Collins experiment at right tackle was in 2022. You could finally address your right tackle need here. You have Orlando Brown at left tackle. The interior of your offensive line isn't too bad. Maybe you can look to upgrade that later on. But if you take the offensive tackle out of Oregon State here, you will have a really good offensive tackle combination between him and Orlando Brown. And I definitely think you could have the best offensive line that you might have had in a very long time. This offensive line has been a problem for Cincinnati. Joe Burrow is coming off once again another season-ending injury. You definitely want to make sure that you have the offensive line as best, as talented as possible to make sure that he can stay up. Number 19, I have Dallas Turner, pass rusher out of Alabama, going to the Los Angeles Rams. They already have a lot of young studs on that defense. You got Aaron Donald. But at this point, Dallas Turner is just too good of a prospect to pass up here. He is built like Hercules. He's a cyborg. He has a lot of potential. He could be better than what Will Anderson was. And Will Anderson already had a really impactful first year with the Houston Texans. So imagine how dominant Dallas Turner could be when you couple in the fact that he's a better athlete than Will Anderson. The LA Rams also probably need to get a little bit younger at edge too, because they have a few guys leaving for free agency, I believe. So I think that it makes sense to take Dallas Turner here. He's just too good of a player to pass up at 19. I got the Pittsburgh Steelers with the 20th overall selection, taking Iowa cornerback Cooper Dejean. He's the start of a new breed. All right, we have not seen a white cornerback before, and Cooper Dejean is probably the best white cornerback ever to play football. He is super athletic. He's very good in man coverage. He's also very good in press coverage. Also, he would be a very good player to put alongside of Joey Porter Jr., who had a really promising first season. I really hope that we get Cooper Dejean as a Steeler fan. There's no good quarterbacks to take at this point. It just makes sense to continue to improve the defense side of the football. Why not continue to go younger and address the cornerback position here with Cooper Dejean? Then you'll have him and Joey Porter both on rookie deals. You'll have two shutdown corners with a good pass rush. Yeah, that defense could be scary with Cooper Dejean and the black and gold. 21st overall, I have Terrion Arnold being the pick here by the Miami Dolphins. They just let go of Xavier Howard. You still do have Jalen Ramsey. You would love to give another cornerback to pair him alongside with. Terrion Arnold is arguably the best cornerback in this draft class. He's better than Kool-Aid McKinstry. Really technical, fundamentally sound cornerback. He's a ball hawk. He just has a nose for the football. I like him a lot. I think that he would be a good pick here for the Miami Dolphins. I have the Buffalo Bills trading up for the 22nd pick with the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to get the Buffalo Bills' 28th overall selection. They're also going to get their second round pick in this draft also, and the first round pick for 2025. Buffalo is taking Texas wide receiver A.D. Mitchell. The reason why this just makes perfect sense for Buffalo to trade up with Philadelphia for 22nd overall is because we don't know the future of Stephon Diggs. They could trade him to free up some more cap space. Gabe Davis is a free agent. You do have Dalton Kincaid, who looks to be one of the better up-and-coming young tight ends in the NFL. A.D. Mitchell is a super dynamic outside wide receiver, great speed, dynamic with the ball in his hands, and he could be one of the best wide receivers from this draft class. If you're looking at a guy who could be a superstar who doesn't go in the top 15, it definitely could be A.D. Mitchell. So I think that for Buffalo, waiting at 28 for AD Mitchell to fall to you probably would be a big gamble, because there definitely are a ton of teams that could jump over you and take him. Maybe Dallas, the Packers, Houston is looking at another wide receiver potentially. So trading up for AD Mitchell, I think, is a move that you definitely have to make. 23rd overall, I have the Houston Texans, taking Jarrett Verse, edge rusher out of Florida State. He, alongside with Will Anderson, would be a scary pass rush duo. Jarrett Verse, one of the best, most athletically gifted pass rushers in this draft class. This dude is a freak. He tested out really well at the combine. He's had really good production his last couple of years at Florida State. Hell, he could have came out last year and been a top 15 pick. So going to Houston, pairing him up with Will Anderson would be a scary pass rush duo to have to worry about if you're opposing teams in the AFC South. 24th overall, I have the Dallas Cowboys selecting our offensive tackle out of Georgia, Amarius Mims. Now, Amarius Mims, he could be seen as a developmental project. I don't really see him as that. I see him as a day one tackle that if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you don't have Teron Smith anymore. He's a free agent. Left tackle is one of those areas that you definitely have to make sure you improve. And I don't really think there's a lot of great left tackle options for the Dallas Cowboys to sign in free agency. So Amarius Mims probably is the best offensive tackle on the board at this point. It just makes a lot of sense for them to go ahead and fill that need of left tackle that Teron Smith is going to leave there. So Amarius Mims is my pick for the Dallas Cowboys at 24. At 25, I have offensive tackle Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma being the pick by the Packers. David Bakhtiari is getting up there in age. There's some questions about his contract, and maybe if you release him, he goes and he finishes off the rest of his career with Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. But I just don't think that the Green Bay Packers would feel like they would be wrong to take an offensive tackle here, because we know what the Packers like to do in their drafts in the first round. They like to put a lot of stock on the interior of the D and offensive line. And this is the kind of pick that the Green Bay Packers are known for making in the draft. Tyler Guyton would be a perfect fit. He's pretty good in run blocking, pass protection. And even if you don't start him day one, he potentially could be the successor at left tackle for David Bakhtiari, depending on what you want to do with him. If you bring him back for another year and he just retires, or if he gets injured again. But Tyler Guyton would just be some more insurance that you can add onto an already pretty good offensive line. 26 overall, half the Buccaneers selecting offensive guard Jackson Powers out of Oregon. The interior of Tampa's offensive line was a disaster last year. That's a big reason why they couldn't run the football. There are people saying that Rashad White just isn't that good. That wasn't the case. Anytime he ran the ball up the middle, he was met in the backfield nearly immediately. So the interior offensive line for the Buccaneers has to be addressed. Jackson Powers is the best offensive lineman in the interior of this draft class. So when you look at what he would bring to the Buccaneers, it would be somebody who finally is that presence on the inside of that offensive line that will finally allow the Buccaneers to have more success running those power runs up the middle, instead of always having to worry about just going air raid trying to win ball games because your run game is ineffective. And that's a big reason why Rashad White's production was a little bit halted this year. That interior of that O-line was a disaster. So you go ahead and you fix that problem by plugging in Jackson Powers, who can play either left or right guard for you. 27th overall, I have the Arizona Cardinals taking edge rusher out of Penn State, Chop Robinson. Chop Robinson is my favorite pass rusher in this draft class, not just because I love his name, but if you go and you watch his tape against Michigan, it seemed like every play he just got instant block shed. He was always in the backfield, and he was making such a big train wreck for Michigan's offense that they had to stop passing the football, and they just had to run it 31 straight times to end the game because Chop Robinson was making that big of an impact on that offense. So for the Arizona Cardinals, you had one of the worst pass rushes in the NFL last season in 2023. It would make sense to bring in another edge rusher here to continue to improve that area of your defense. And Chop Robinson could wind up being one of the best edge rushers out of this class this year. That's how much I love Chop Robinson as a prospect. 28th overall, I have the Philadelphia Eagles taking Alabama corner Kool-Aid McKinstry. Now, they got this pick because I had them trading down from 22 to 28 with the Buffalo Bills. And in that trade, they got Buffalo's second-round selection in this draft and their first-round pick in next year's draft. Cornerback was a big issue for Philly last season. All right, James Bradbury is absolutely washed. He's cooked. And Darius Slay, father time is... He's knocking on the door for him. So it's about time they continue to get younger at cornerback. You already did invest a mid-round selection in the Georgia corner last year in Keely Ringo. You bring in another SEC corner, Kool-Aid McKinstry, who his stock definitely has gone down a lot. At the start of last year, he was and everybody's top 10, top 15, but he's not a bad corner prospect. He's just not as great as an athlete as people initially thought, but he can be really good in man coverage, you know, and he definitely can offer them return, kick return ability also. And when corner has been as bad as what it's been for Philly, like it was last year, you just can't pass on a cornerback here in Kool-Aid McKinstry. Defensive tackle Byron Murphy, the second out of Texas, is the pick here at 29 for the Detroit Lions. Listen, that defensive line, if they get Byron Murphy the second, they're going to be nasty. It's going to be really hard to try to run the ball on that defense. You saw how good that defensive line was at times last season. And then you plug in Byron Murphy the second there. You got Aiden Hutchinson on the outside getting after the quarterback. I would love for the Detroit Lions to take Byron Murphy the second out of Texas with this pick. Rounding out the top 30, I have edge rusher out of Mizzou, Darius Robinson, going to Baltimore. Darius Robinson, he can play edge or he can play on the defensive line as an interior pass rusher. Also, he offers that kind of versatility. Baltimore is still looking for some answers when it comes to young pass rushers that could step up for them. They've drafted a couple over the years. You have Adafi Owe, you have David Ajabo, and we haven't really heard anything from those guys. Jadeveon Clowney is a free agent. He's 30-something years old. Now, they could bring him back, but if you can get the opportunity to take somebody who could be a 6, 7.5 sack guy for you down the road in 2, 3 years, Darius Robinson could be that guy for them. I do think that he could bring them a really big impact in the run defense. I really do think that he's pretty good in run support. His pass rushing game definitely could use a little bit more refinement, but I definitely do believe the upside is there for Darius Robinson to be a really good selection, and Baltimore has to end up bringing in some young pass rushers. You just can't keep bringing in these old aging veterans to be your best options at getting after the quarterback, and Darius Robinson, you hope that he could be the answer here. 31st overall, I have Graham Barton, center, interior offensive lineman out of Duke, being the pick 31st by the 49ers. The interior offensive line play for San Francisco was not good this year. It was really evident at times, especially in the Super Bowl in certain moments, during the postseason also. And Graham Barton, he can play center for you. He can play left guard, right guard for you. He's rated as the best center in this class, but if you don't need him to play center, he can play any guard spot for you. He would be a big pickup for the 49ers here at 31st, or 31, excuse me. And for the last selection, 32nd overall, I have the Kansas City Chiefs taking Arizona offensive tackle Jordan Morgan. You have Donovan Smith hitting free agency. He was not good. I don't even know how he played as well as what he did in the Super Bowl. Jerron Taylor, it looks like you massively overpaid him in free agency last year, but you get Jordan Morgan. If you can make it work at left tackle, he definitely could end up not only being a good upgrade for you there compared to what Donovan Smith gave you at that spot, but then you could lock down, you know, that left tackle position for the next 3 to 4 years. And if Jordan Morgan ends up hitting right away, you got to have a fairly good left tackle on a cheap deal. And that's with paying Patrick Mahomes all the money that you're paying him. And maybe you can take some of that money to invest at the wide receiver position or some other positions on defense. But this is it for my pre-free agency 2024 NFL mock drafts. Leave your comments down below what you think on it. Follow me on Instagram at @JTSports_, on X at @JTSports_. If you have a question that you would like answered on a future episode, you can send them in the DMs there. And remember that we're not just a YouTube channel, we're a podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. Share the pod with your friends, family members, and acquaintances. We'll greatly appreciate it. And I will see you guys shortly with another episode of the JT Sports Podcast.